It's Thursday, the 31st of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Steve Smith. Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and 72 Ollis. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast like 72 Ollis, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor of the podcast. Thank you to 72 Ollis. Thank you to everyone who has done that, and thanks to everyone who's helped the show rise in the rankings all season long. It's been tremendous. The growth of this show this year has been, it's completely blown away anything I could have expected. So thank you to everyone who's listened and helped the show along the way. Of course, you can also watch this show on YouTube, and if you are watching along live and you want to contribute, you want to chime in, you want to ask a question, you can tweet at me at redrock_bball. You can do that anytime, of course, but if you want live reaction, tweet at me at that Twitter handle, and we can, hey, if it fits into the show, we'll get to as many of those questions as the show allows as we go live. So you can see that on the screen beneath my head on the video. Got a new sponsor to announce on today's podcast. We'll get to that a little bit later. Another great way that you can get yourself a bonus and get yourself something really valuable, and I think that a lot of you will enjoy, but another great way to support the podcast as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. We've got stacks to talk about, a busy Wednesday, a very, very interesting Thursday to come up. So
let's get to it.
Before we get into all of that, though, we need to do our next recap on the listener leagues. Another four leagues we're going to talk about today. The Mark Eaton division. We've got a tie so far in the championship round. We've got Juan Meza and Christopher Allison Snig. Now, I apologize for all these names. There's a few names coming up where I probably will butcher them. So I apologize to Juan or to Christopher if I butchered your name there. You guys are sitting at a 4-4 tie after Wednesday's game. So good luck to both of you. In the Sleepy Floyd division, we have Corey Van Het Welt. He is 6-2 up on Peyton Sawyer. So Corey, congratulations, because you haven't won yet, but you're in a pretty nice spot. So hopefully you can continue, and Peyton, hopefully you can come back and make it a close finish. So Corey within the box seat there. In the Kendall Gill division, we have Xavier Guino, who is 8-0 up on Michael Paraskevas. Now, Michael, 8-0. You can't go down 8-0 in the championship round, mate. Come on, get a few categories back over Xavier. And the Hersey Hawkins division, Simon Smith is 7-1 up on Riley Colasuono. So Simon looking like he's in the box seat there as well. But Riley, there's still 4 days left and you can come back and make that a bit more of a challenge as well. So congratulations to you guys for all getting to the championship round. And remember, the winner of these leagues will head into the Champions League for next season. So at the moment, we've got Corey, Xavier, Simon, who are looking the goods, and then Juan and Christopher are tied up at 4 apiece. So if you guys win, you will head into the Champions League for next season to battle it out with the other winners of the leagues, plus myself and Matt Smith will be in that league as well, make it a 14-team league. So we'll go through the other four leagues in tomorrow's show and give an update on that. And of course, once the leagues are over, we'll give a full wrap-up of the winners of all those leagues next week. We have, let's do it. Monstrous line of the night. Here we go. It is DeMarcus Cousins of the Sacramento Kings, of course. He played 32 minutes. He had 29 points. He hit a three. He had 10 rebounds. He had 4 assists. He had 5 steals. He had 4 blocks. He went 11 of 18 from the field, a disappointing 6 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 5 turnovers. And probably most importantly, he had 1 technical foul, which means that he is now looking like he will get suspended. Unless this tech gets rescinded, DeMarcus Cousins will serve an automatic 1-game suspension due to a tech. And of course, it happens at the worst time that it possibly could, for a fantasy point of view anyway. For the Kings, it means absolutely nothing. But for a fantasy point of view, I'm sure plenty of people are pissed at Boogie getting that tech, because he's going to miss a game in your championship round, and that is obviously not what you're wanting at this time of the year. But these are the things that happen. There's been plenty of things tripping up at this point of the year, as we mentioned on yesterday's show. Injuries, rests, and now Boogie's suspension or probable suspension is going to factor into that as well. The Kings have How many games do they have left this week? They have two more games left this week, a back-to-back Friday, Sunday. So you actually might get Boogie to miss the tougher matchup against Miami, although matchups, he's probably matchup proof. And then he gets a beautiful matchup on a day on Saturday against Denver in a low volume game day as well. And against his former coach, he is primed to put up another. I'll put money on it almost now that Saturday will be a monstrous line of the night from Boogie. I know it's a very early call and it will probably be wrong, but that is everything is looking like it'll be a huge night for Boogie on Saturday. His season, after starting slow, he's back to being the 10th ranked player this season. You punt some categories, he's better than that. He's a top 5 guy over the last month. He's top 10 over the last 2 months. And top 5 sort of where I thought he could make it at the start of the season. Obviously started off really slow and has hurt your percentages quite a bit this season for a big man. Yeah, drops in his field goal percentage and free throws this year. He has improved his turnovers, but they're still horrible. He's at 3.8 per game. He was at 4.3 last year. But the biggest addition to Boogie's game is he's hitting 1.1 threes per game. He is a triple one player. He's hitting his threes at 34% as well. He's a 27 and 11.5 guy. 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks, 1.1 triples. He is doing so much for you. And if he was a 50 and 78% guy, which it's not crazy because he was 47 and 78 last year, he'd comfortably be a top 5 guy. He's a tremendous fantasy player and puts up numbers like this. You don't see many guys with a 5 steal, 4 block night and big scoring and big rebounding and hitting threes. He does not a little bit of everything. He does a lot of everything. The waiver wire line of the night is PJ Tucker of the Phoenix Suns, who played 39 minutes and had a huge night. 20 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. He went 7 of 14 from the field. He hit all 6 of his free throws, and he has been a massive yo-yo this season. Really, really down to start the season. Had a big renaissance when TJ Warren went down, dropped off, and has come back now. The last 2 weeks, he's inside the top 70. He's playing 35 minutes a game, and it's coming from the fact that he's a shooting guard, and he's giving you 7.5 rebounds in that time. He's giving you 1.6 steals, 3 assists, half a 3. Yeah, solid. Free throws at 78, 44 from the field. He's not a must-own guy by any stretch of anyone's imagination, but his ability to get rebounds, hit threes, get steals, it's useful. It can be used. He's still got 2 more games left this week. They are on high-volume days, though, so Friday and Sunday. Adding him, you might not be able to use him, but you really need to be digging into your matchup and thinking, okay, does Tucker bring what I need? You might have to sit your 5th best player, your 6th best player, because he might be too harmful to what you do. You might be so far ahead in assists. I dropped Reggie Jackson in the league today because I can't lose assists in this matchup. He's not getting me any steals. He's been subpar in field goal percentage, and I need my field goal percentage back. So I dropped him to get a big man. I dropped him, I think, for Cole Aldrich, because and we'll talk about Cole a little bit later on, because I need field goal percentage, and I think he's going to give that to me in Thursday's action. You need to look, and it all comes, it's adds and drops, but it starts and sits as well. Is this guy going to hurt me? Or is his positives, are they completely out of reach? Or are they completely out of reach of my opponent? Because if that's the case, then there's no point playing them. You need to look at what's going to really help those categories that are in doubt at this point in the week, most of the time, with 3 or 4 days to go, or 4 days to go. You need to look at, and instead of being an 8-cat matchup or a 9-cat matchup, it's a 3-cat matchup. It's a 2-cat matchup. That's how the rest of the week should play out for most of you. Now, you can't totally disregard all the other categories, but you pretty much can. And because you're not making sweeping changes to your roster and dropping 10 guys and bringing 10 new guys in. So you would expect if you've got big leads in those categories or big deficits, it's gonna stay. You look at the categories, oh, this is close, this is close, this is close, and work out, it's a 3-cat matchup. Can you go 2-1 in those 3-cats? And that's why I approach it. I think that that's the way that you should approach this end of the season sort of run. I recognize that people haven't finished their season, and some people will go until the very last day of the regular season, which is just not ideal, and it should never happen. But I know plenty of you do, so we'll continue obviously running the podcast through to the end of the season. But for you guys who are finishing now, which is almost the perfect time, this is the way you need to be approaching things. The young gun of the night is Jabari Parker of the Milwaukee Bucks. He played 36 minutes. He had 21 points, a decent scoring night for Jabari. Only 5 rebounds. He's not a great rebounder. 3 assists and 4 steals on big percentages, 6 of 10 from the field, and he went 9 of 11 from the free throw line. He's definitely had a much better second half of the year. He's a top 50 guy over the last month. He's scoring. He gives you 5 rebounds, not big numbers, but big percentages, 50 and 79 over the last month. That's pretty good. 1.6 steals is excellent for a power forward guy. You know, half a three, he needs to get better there. But he's doubled what he did last season. And for the year, he's only at 0.13s. So you look at the last month, he's up to 0.4, and it's a big improvement. And that's, look, he does still need to get better in that area, but he's looking like he's going to be a pretty solid player for this team and a pretty decent guy, and a guy who has significant fantasy potential, I think, especially in the way this team is. And if he adds that three-point shot, which is not crazy to think that he can do it, it might not come for 2 or 3 years, but he could do it. I think that he's more likely to probably add it than what Giannis is. He's going to be a very interesting fantasy prospect moving forward. The dud of the night. Kobe Bryant played 9 minutes. He had 2 points. It wasn't from lack of trying. He took 7 shots. He hit one of them. He had 2 rebounds. He had no other stats. That shoulder is obviously a concern. He's dealing with general soreness, though, in this one. That was the reason that he sat out. He has been putrid over the last 2 weeks. A lot of it is shooting related. 35% on 14 shots is horrible. He's shooting 35.5% for the season and has basically been a punt field goal guy all season. But he's scoring enough. He's hitting enough threes. He's hitting 2 threes a game. He gets you 3 assists, 4 rebounds, a steal, and 81% from the free throw line. All those numbers are useful. It wasn't so useful in today's game where he played only those 8 minutes. So that's not great for your team. And one game left this week. He's obviously not a must hold. And I see posts and things about, I need to hold on to Kobe because I'm in my championship round. I need to give him a championship. You can think that way if you want. To me, that is just, doesn't make any sense to me. Kobe gives literally zero shits about what you do. And I don't understand. I see it a lot as well. So it must be a prevailing thought. To me, it's just, what are you talking about? Oh, let's get this guy onto my roster as my victory cigar. And I want him on my final roster when I win a championship. Okay, cool. You might hold him, but maybe you lose the championship because of holding him. I don't know. People must have different thought processes to me. And they love Kobe so much, they want him on their championship fantasy team. Anyway, he's got one game left. He's going to hurt you in certain areas. He might not even play. There is no point in holding Kobe in most situations to me. Let's look now at the perfect DFS lineup from Wednesday's games. At point guard, Chrissy Paul, 53.6, and JJ Barea, 40.5. I nailed that Barea one yesterday. Pretty happy with getting that one right. Shooting guard, DeMar DeRozan, he bounced back, and I touched on that yesterday as well, that he was due for a bounce back, and he had one. He had 46 points, and Bill Barton turning in some big lines here. He thinks it's December again. 37.7 for Barton, and he's still frustrating, still up and down, but that's 3 ups in a row from Barton, so you're always like living on the edge of a cliff thinking that, okay, is it the down one now? Is it the down one now? But it hasn't happened. That means you're probably getting closer to it happening, though. Small forward, PJ Tucker, 46.5. Harry Barnes, 29.7. The Barnster, Barnsey. He's real tough to rely upon, but that's a big performance for a guy who's only priced at their low 4,000s in salary. At power forward, Alex Len, 44.5. That's 2 big games in a row from him. So we have to think that maybe he's getting things back on track and have to consider him again for standard leagues. And Luol Deng with 46.2. And at center, of course, Boogie had 60. And that lineup would have given you 404.7 points. And you would have been pretty happy with that, I would imagine. Let's take a quick word now from our new sponsor, which is Loot Crate. Now, you might have heard of Loot Crate before. You can see on the screen there the details. What Loot Crate is, it's a monthly subscription box service. It's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month and you get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. Other stuff as well. Each month, there's a different theme that they run at Loot Crate, and you know, they hand-select all the things they're going to put in this box to appeal to what geeks love. And I don't use geek in a derogatory term. I think everybody is a nerd at something in their life. And you know, you people who obsessively play fantasy basketball, and again, that's not derogatory. Like myself, we're nerds. Oh, I'm a nerd. I know I'm a nerd. I might look cool with my you know, cool beard and shit, and I'm completely taking the piss there. But I'm a nerd. You know, I look at numbers all day. I obsess about fantasy basketball teams and lineups and do tech stuff and watch superhero movies and look at comics and nerd out about wrestling or whatever. We're all nerds. And Loot Crate caters to that. It's a great subscription box service, and they pick things for you that nerds are going to like. Head to the website, which is lootcrate.com/redrock, which is one word. Use the promo code, which is redrock, and it saves you $3. That's pretty good, I would have thought, considering how cheap the gear is already. We're talking, you know, a significant percentage off here, you know, about 15% off. That's a pretty good price. Not only does it save you money, not only do you get a great monthly service that you can cancel at any time, but you help support the podcast by going to lootcrate.com/redrock and using that promo code redrock. You're supporting the podcast, getting a discount, and getting a great new service as well. Next month's theme is quest. So it's time for an adventure. You grab your bag, you grab your bag, your maps, go into far-off kingdoms, celebrate all of pop culture's best goal-orientated and often unexpected journeys. There's exclusive items from Labyrinth, Harry Potter, the History Channel's Vikings, and Uncharted 4. T-shirts in there. Make sure you're getting involved with Loot Crate, and using, when you do that, go there and to check it out, use lootcrate.com/redrock. Don't just go to lootcrate.com. That's the easy way. Put the slash on there. Put redrock on there and tell them that you came from here. By adding that, you say, you know what, I listened to Josh, and I think that his show's all right, and I'm supporting it, and I want to check out what you guys have got to offer. And if you like it, you enter the promo code, enter the coupon code, sorry, which is redrock, one word again, save $3 and get yourself some pretty neat gear. And that makes me sound extremely old when I said neat gear. I'm not that old, but it does make me sound old. But hey, check out Loot Crate. They're new on board the podcast. They're sponsoring the show, and I think that they can you can show your support for the show and get great stuff and join up with all the stuff that is happening over at Loot Crate. So if you're watching the video, you can see the address at the bottom of the screen and use that coupon code REDROCK for $3 off your order. All right, we are going to now look at the games from Wednesday. We're going to dig into those in a little bit more detail. I'll bring them up on the screen again for you guys who are watching on the video. And you can go along with me as we're going through them. There we go. All right. Let's get into the games. The first one was the Atlanta Hawks and the Toronto Raptors. Big win for the Raptors here at home. The Hawks, they weren't good. They struggled. They limited their minutes of players because they were getting smashed, really. So Paul Millsap only played 24 minutes. It was a bad matchup for him anyway going up against the Raptors. Only 7 points. He still did have two steals, 3 blocks, and 9 rebounds. Hit a 3, but overall not a good night. And we could say that for most players on this team, as the highest minutes anyone got was 25 to Tim Hardaway Jr. And he hit 4 triples for 15 points with 3 rebounds and 3 assists. But the minutes were spread all over the place. Nothing really actionable from all of this, because it is one of those games where Budenholzer just went, everyone's playing the same minutes. So you don't really get a huge amount out of looking at this into too much detail, except if you own guys like Teague and Horford and Millsap, you're pretty pissed with the production that they got. The bench guys did all right. You know, Mike Scott had 12-8 with 2 threes, and I mentioned Hardaway, and Dennis Schroeder had 13 points. So out of the 4 people who broached double-digit points, 3 of them were bench players, Hardaway, Scott, and Schroeder. Kyle Korver sucked. He had 3 points in his 24 minutes. On the Raptors, DeRozan, 26, 5, and 6, 3 threes and 3 steals, a pretty decent performance from him. While Kyle Lowry, the shooting is just murdering you at the moment. 4 of 19 from the field, 17, 6, and 11, so still nice counting stats. 2 steals, 2 threes, and played 40 minutes. But those percentages are just, they're just absolutely destroying you if you're not punting that category. Jonas Valanciunas played 31 minutes, so that's I'm happy with that. 19 and 9, a steal and a block. And 9 of 13 from the field. Massive Valanciunas fan. Terrence Ross was back. Normie Powell still got a start and played 25 minutes and looked good in doing so. 10-4-2 for Normie. 2 threes and 2 steals. I wanted to see what happened with him when Ross came back. And I like what I saw. Now, he's not going to get to 30 minutes, and that's a concern for 12-team leagues. But I think he has 14-team league value. Now, 2 threes and 2 steals is super valuable. you know, hitting some threes, Nick scoring, get some rebounds. He can do quite a bit. So he's not a 12-team ad. He's a, maybe a stream if you've got a roster spot. But in a 14-team league, I like him holding this position. You know, Jim Johnson was the guy who was replaced completely in the rotation by Ross's return. Now, Ross played 23 minutes, went 13-3 with 2 threes and 3 steals, so he had a decent night himself. But out of the two of them, Powell's been the guy who's produced more recently and in bigger quantities, really. Bismack Biyombo, 7-6 with a steal. And Pat played 33 minutes with Luis Scola out. 9-7-3 with 2 triples for Pat, while Jason Thompson went 2-3 in 15 minutes. As I've mentioned plenty of times, Patterson just is not a 12-team league guy. He is literally, I need threes and I've got a power forward spot open. Let's go and add him and let's see how it works from there. And that's really about it. That's really where it goes. Question from Zubin Petrow. Zubin, I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly. How far do you think the Raps can go in the playoffs? I wouldn't be shocked if they made it to the NBA Finals. I think that's probably going to be a stretch. I think that they should be in the conference finals, and it's definitely, I want them to make the NBA Finals. I don't think that they will, but I think there's probably a 30% chance of them getting there. So that's not bad odds. I think it's going to be them and the Cavs, and that makes sense. As the 1 and 2 seeds, I think that they get to that conference finals, and they've got a massive chance of beating the Cavs there. I still think the Cavs get over the line, but I wouldn't be shocked if they got into the NBA Finals, Zubin. So thank you for that question. The next game we're going to look at is the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. Alex Len, 39 minutes, 17-15-5, 2 blocks and 8 of 13. This is the Alex Len that I was hoping for, that I was remembering, because when he had that little run where he was putting together big lines, he wasn't blocking shots and he was shooting terribly. But this is the Alex Len that I know he can be, a shot blocker, a high field goal percentage guy, a good rebounder. Yeah, big numbers here from him. And that's he becomes interesting again. You have to look at adding him. Now, you really got to consider, is the field goal percentage real or fake? I think that the fakeness was the low percentage that he was shooting before, and this is more what he can do. So I'm not overly concerned of him going back to that 42, 43% guy. I think that 50-plus is where he is. Let's hope it sticks. Tyson Chandler started next to him again, 13-13. 2 blocks for Chandler. Much less faith in him being able to reproduce lines like that rather than Len. If I'm adding someone, it is Len and not Chandler. Devin Booker went 18-4-4 on a really efficient 8 of 16 with 2 triples, while Brandon Knight took a lot of shots but went 5 of 16. 17 points with 2 threes and 2 assists is not bad. The bench, not much happening there. John Lua down to 10 minutes, Chase Budinger at 9, Archie Goodwin at 4, and Johnny Jenkins at 9. And obviously with Lua, with Chandler back and with Len playing, Lua is completely reduced. And even this is even with Mirza Teletovic sitting this one out with an illness. Lua, Earl Watson just doesn't rate him. And I'm pretty confident in saying that he'll only play him when absolutely forced into it. For the Bucks, we talked, or I talked, you listened yesterday. I hope you listened yesterday about Giannis Antetokounmpo for a fairly decent amount of time. And it probably pushed the podcast to a lengthy one. He played 32 minutes here. He went 10-3-6. He had a 3. He had a block. He was 3 of 5 from the field. He actually hit a 3. So that's his second 3 that he's hit since the All-Star break. He was 3 of 8 from the free throw line. These are some of the concerns that I mentioned yesterday that are just, and people are like, oh, he's going to be a first round draft pick. And I just urge caution on that, because I don't know. It's a weird situation with what Milwaukee's doing in my mind anyway. By naming him the point guard now, it doesn't make a huge amount of sense. And he has those similar sort of restrictions that what Carter Williams does, or limitations to his game. Obviously a much better finisher at the rim because he's 6'11 and he's ridiculously long and athletic. But I'm not sure how he goes as a full-time point guard. Not a good night from Giannis. Jared Bayless hurt his knee. He played just 12 minutes and had 2 points. And that meant that they started Rashard Vaughn in the second half. And Vaughn produced 26 minutes, 8 points with 2 triples, but 3 steals and a block is where the value really comes from. Now, he's been pretty poor for most of the season. But with Carter Williams, with Bayless, with Mayo all out, and if they started him in the second half, they could start him again. And he could play 30 minutes, and he could. I think he's more of a 14. He's a 16-team add now. He's a 14-team consider, and he's a 12-team. Let's watch to see what happens. Johnny Henson played 23 minutes, 10-5-2, 1 steal, 4 blocks. The best block stream out there. maybe equal with my boy Cole Aldrich in Los Angeles. And Tyler Ennis got some extra run. He went 10 and 4 in 23 minutes. But Vaughn's the guy that I'm more watching rather than Ennis. Greggy Munro, 14, 5 and 4, had two steals and two blocks. So a really nice performance from him in limited minutes. While Chrissy Middleton, 26 and 7 with three triples, a bounce back after a pretty lean couple of weeks from Middleton, 10 of 16 from the field is nice. And General Grievous Vasquez returned. He played 13 minutes off the bench. 0 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. He's been out for a long time with that ankle surgery, but with Bayless potentially missing some time now, Vasquez should slide into that role, take some of Ennis's minutes, and he might even play a 23, 24-minute role down the stretch. The next game, the Los Angeles Clippers and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Chris Paul, 28 and 16, a steal and a three. Big, big numbers from him, obviously. JJ Redick, 17, 3 and 3. With 4 triples, and DeAndre Jordan went 11 and 8 with 3 blocks. So those guys doing what they needed to do. Redick had been a little bit quiet lately, but that's a much better performance from him in this one. Jamal Crawford only played 18 minutes, 10 points and 2 steals. He's not a must-own guy, but we're going to talk a bit more later on. What about my boy Cole Aldrich? It's standard Aldrich watch. 12 minutes, 2 points, but 2 steals, 2 blocks. He just blocks shots at an enormous rate. Now, should I talk about it now? Yeah, let's talk about it now. The Clippers are resting Chris Paul, JJ Redick, and DeAndre Jordan tomorrow. Cole Aldrich is going to start. Cole Aldrich could have 5 blocks. Cole Aldrich could have a 15 and 10 double-double with 5 blocks on 70% shooting and 70% from the free throw line. I know you feel like I'm talking him up a lot and I've got excessive faith in him, but he can produce when he plays. And I think that he will. He is a great stream option for Thursday. Not only is Thursday a really low volume day, he is going to. If you're looking for those defensive numbers, you're going to get blocks. You know that. And he's going to have a chance to score. He's going to have a chance to rebound. He's going to have a chance to block more shots. I love him for tomorrow. Yeah, Crawford's another one. He'll get a bigger role. So he'd be a guy that I'd look to add for Thursday. Jeffy Green, who played 29 minutes here, went 10 and 3 with 2 blocks. He's going to be forced into some extra minutes as well with Paul Pierce sidelined also. Wes Johnson probably gets some extra run, but Austin Rivers, the more intriguing one. I would imagine that he starts at point guard. He'll play the 1 and the 2. He only played 15 minutes here, had 10 points with 2 triples, but he has been an able fantasy contributor when he gets minutes. Now, it's not great. It's not spectacular. It's not top 10. It's nothing like that, but on a low volume day, add him. He should be added to maximize your gains because not only is it a low day so you can actually plug him in, but he's going to get big minutes and he's going to get a much increased usage, which is something really important. Wes Johnson had 2 blocks and a steal as well, so he's going to have extra run and he's going to be a good source of defensive numbers too. So there's going to be a lot happening with the Clippers and we'll talk more about that when we get into the DFS section. On the Timberwolves, not pretty for them. It was a blowout, so minutes were limited right across the board. Really, really enjoy Zach LaVine going 0 for 6 and scoring 0 points in 22 minutes. 2 rebounds and 4 assists for LaVine, but not his best night. Rick Rubio went 9-3-1 with 2 triples. Carl Towns still had 16 and 11 with 2 threes. No defensive numbers. Overall, just a shit night for the Timberwolves. Nemanja Bjelica, 14 and 7. That's his best game ever. Andy Wiggins, 7 points, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 3. Almost as yuck as you can get. And Gorgui Dieng, 3 and 10 in 22. Just an off night for all players. There's really nothing positive to announce from the Timberwolves. Rick Rubio went 2 of 9. Wigo went 3 of 9. Dieng went 1 of 6. LaVine went 0 of 6. And Tyus Jones went 1 of 10. That is horrific. The whole team shot less than 35% from the field. Just a very, very, very bad night from the Timberwolves. Denver and Memphis. Bill Barton, 33 minutes off the bench, 25 and 6 with 4 triples, 3 assists, and 1 block. Big win for them. Barton got some extra run because Gaz Harris was slowed by fatigue and slowed by fouls. He played just 20 minutes, Gaz. 5 points, had a triple one, had 4 assists, so still not bad numbers, but he is not a must-own guy. Ken Fareed, 6 and 5 in his 24 minutes. He's not a must-own player either. Emmanuel Mudiay, second straight game over 30 minutes. 31 here, 17, 2 and 5 with 3 triples. 3 triples for Mudiay is a bonus and a block. So obviously putting up some nice numbers. And that's 2 subpars in a row for Augustin. Although 11-2-5 in 23 minutes is not necessarily subpar, but it's 23 minutes. You want him to get 27 or 28, and that's a little bit of a struggle here. Jusuf Nurkić sat this one out due to illness, and Nikola Jokic responded with one of his better games. 9-14, he had a 3 and a block, while Darrell Arthur went 12-7-2 with 2 blocks and 2 triples. And he's teasing Arthur. He'll go out there and do it and put up numbers. And you go, look at this. Arthur, 25 minutes, big numbers. Just big numbers. But then he'll go out and put up 4 points. It's really, I don't know. He's frustrating. He's not a 12-team league guy. We'll leave it at that. The Grizzlies, Zach Randolph did play. Surprised that he played. 26-6 with a 3. He's going to be big down the stretch. Jordan Farmar, another start, played 25 minutes. He had 14 points, 5 assists, 2 threes, and a steal. He's going to continue to have value. He is on the radar in 12-team leagues. Not a must-own, but he's on the radar with Xavier Munford playing 12 minutes and Ray McCallum playing 7. Chris Anderson, the Birdman, six boards and 2 blocks in his 17 minutes. He's a block specialist at this point. And Jermichael Green, even in limited minutes, had a double-double, 13, 12, and 3 with a block in 26 minutes. He is more a deep league guy. Matty Barnes couldn't get the shot to fall, 2 of 12, 6 points, 11 rebounds, and 2 steals. And Tony Allen, he's dropped off significantly, just 22 minutes for him, 7 points and a steal. He's only valuable for steals at this point, while Lance had 12, 3, and 1 in 26 minutes. He's not going to get the minutes. He is not a must-own guy either. Now, Zubin responded to me. He says, by the way, the name is pronounced phonetically as Zubin. I think that's what I said, Zubin. I was more concerned about your surname, Petrow. I went to school with a guy called Zubin. I'm all over the name Zubin. His question, though, is how do you derive Gaz from Gary? It's an Australian thing, mate. Everyone that's called Gary here is Gazza. I just shorten it to Gaz, but it's Gary, it's a Gazza. Gazza. I could call him Gazza Harris. It just doesn't roll off the tongue as well. I prefer Gaz Harris. So yeah, Gary, Gaz. There you go. I don't know what. Darren, Daz. What other ones are there? Yeah, Darren and Gary, probably the two that I can think of. Dazza and Gazza. Yeah. I'm sure there's others. Someone will let me know. One of my Australian listeners, can you tweet at me and tweet at Zubin as well and tell him some other Gazza. Oh, Harry DeHazza. That's another one. You can do that one. That's less used. Tweet some other Australianized names like Big Gaz. The next game, the New York Knicks and the Dallas Mavericks. No,
percentages.
Oh, he's out with a shoulder issue. Let's hope it's not long-term. And a lot of people ask me, do I drop Porzingis? Let's just wait. You don't need to be hair-trigger on him. He might miss another game. But I want to hear some more information before I consider dropping him at this point. Mallow was big, 31-7-2, 3 steals and 2 triples. Or Derek Williams, who replaced Porzingis, went 15-8 in 35 minutes. He has been the choice to replace Porzingis all season when he's missed, and he's going to continue to be that guy. Kurt Rambis, he's got a real aversion to getting his cock out during games, so I don't think we're going to see much of O'Quinn playing, unfortunately. He played 17 minutes, 8-4, but he needs 25 minutes to be really someone who I look at in 12-team leagues. Good news for Jerry and Grant fans. Jose Calderon had to leave the game with a right quad contusion. He played 10 minutes and went 2-2. So it might cost Calderon time. You would hope that they said, you know what, Jose, just come on, mate, just sit down. Take a few games off. Take the rest of April off. You'll be good. Grant started the second half. He played 23 minutes, went 6-2-3 with 3 steals. I don't hate adding him in a 14-team league. It's something. Okay, I talked about Porzingis. Don't be hasty in dropping him. I'd rather be hasty making an add than hasty making a drop. You know, Calderon might be fine, but I'd rather grab Grant and see what plays out than drop Porzingis and he's fine, because that's an issue. Now, the Knicks have got a game against Brooklyn on Friday, and they play again on Sunday against the Pacers. So a really nice matchup against Brooklyn. There is a day off to recuperate, and you might look at your schedule and go, I can't use Grant on Friday. I can't use him on Sunday. What's the point? But if you need steals, if you need assists, you might need to make that move for someone else who might sit on Friday. I'd probably ideally want to make the move for someone who plays Thursday first and then move it for Friday too. But Grant has to come into consideration now. Let's hope we can see something from him moving down the stretch. Rob Lopez, 31 minutes, 8-9. no blocks, just a decent night, but nothing good. And Aaron Aflalo, he's bad. 3 points in 31 minutes. Well, Sasha Vujicic started again. This guy's back starting. This is just the start of the season all over again. 7-5 with a 3 and a steal in 24 minutes for Vujicic. Onto the Mavericks. Barea came off the bench again. Didn't matter. 26-5-7 with 4 triples. Pretty much a must-own guy in most sort of situations at the moment. Dwight Powell started, and any talk from Rick Carlisle, we're going to feature this guy, we'll use him down the stretch, he's going to see some pretty significant run, it just turns out to be a lie, because Powell played 18 minutes. The last one we heard, Salah Mejri, we'll give him a chance, he'll play some minutes, he'll be in there. No, he won't. He won't play. He didn't play at all, Mejri. He's out, he's done. He's finished, out of the rotation. Powell, 18 minutes, 2-4. If I added him, you're definitely fine with dropping him, but I'm not just like, you're shit, you're dropped. I'll wait and see what's around. Do I need to make a move? That sort of stuff. Because he might come back and play 30 minutes in the next game, but not a good spot here. Justin Anderson, though, looks decent. 29 minutes, 7-9 with a 3, 2 steals and a block, and he can do things in multiple categories. He was a guy that at the start of the season I was very big on because I thought there's no way Parsons and Matthews start the season. Who the hell's going to play the 2 and 3? It's going to have to be John Jenkins and it's going to have to be Justin Anderson. Turns out those guys did play from the start of the season, which was just amazing. And it limited what Anderson can do. But he's coming on now with Parsons out. And he can produce. He can get steals. He boards. He gets threes. Another block shot here. Very interesting guy for the deeper formats at the moment. Wes Matthews, 16-2-4 with 3 steals. And Zaza's back from the dead. 6-9 in 19 minutes. But he's still just a deeper league sort of player. Ray Felton, another 35 minutes, 11-3-2. He's a decent 12 guy, but more of a 14 team. Look, I'd much rather Barea over Felton at this point. Devin Harris struggled, 6 points in 25 minutes, and Dirk also struggled. 5 of 23 for 11 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. We don't have any further real information on Darren Williams at this point. It doesn't seem great with 2 more games left, and they're Friday, Sunday. Happy to drop someone to get someone in that plays on Thursday and Saturday. And you've got options there. Portland plays Thursday and Saturday. Chicago plays Thursday and Saturday. Indiana plays Thursday and Saturday. Denver plays Thursday and Saturday. And the reason I target Thursday and Saturday is they're shallow days. There's not many games being played, so you can actually use those guys. So with Friday and Sunday games for the Mavericks and Williams already struggling, championship round, you might need to move on from him. The next game, the New Orleans Pelicans and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs brought all the big guns back for this one. Didn't use them very much, but brought them all back anyway. Let's start with the Pelicans. There was no, obviously the guys out for the season, no Norris Cole in this one, no Ryan Anderson, and it appears more and more likely we don't see them again, at least for the next week or so, but that we continue to hear, Anderson's out next game. Cole is day-to-day, but they're not playing. Tone Douglas started, played 28 minutes, went 12-2-5 with 4 triples and a steal. He's an ownable guy. Tim Frazier, 11-3-7 with 2 steals in 25 minutes. He's going to continue to be an ownable guy, even if Norris Cole comes back, I think. James Ennis, out of nowhere, 24 minutes, 13-5-4 with 3 triples. In your deeper leagues, people have to play, so has to be used. Dante Cunningham, he doesn't have to be played, 10-5-3 in 38 minutes, but he's going to get the most minutes on this team, so he does need to be looked at in deeper formats. My boy Alexei Zhinsa, 18-9 with a steal, took 19 shots, which is probably the most fascinating stat there. I do like what Zhinsa can do. In 14-team leagues, he's absolutely a must-own. In 12-team leagues, you've got to look at him. Jordy Hamilton started. Again, fresh off the scrap heap, 31 minutes, 14-5-4. And when he used to play for Denver, I was very interested in what he could do. He put up a few nice performances. I much prefer him to, say, Luke Babbitt, who he replaced in the starting lineup. And he has 12-team intrigue as well. Babbitt, 10-2 in 19 minutes off the bench. Omer Asik is dreadful, 2-9 in his 25 minutes. Obviously, Cole is dropped. Ryan Anderson should be dropped in most spots as well. The Spurs, everyone was back. Everyone was ready to go. Didn't need them. Kawhi, 16-6-4, 3 steals and 2 blocks in just 22 minutes. So even though he didn't play anywhere near his full allotment of minutes, it's still a massive performance. And he was really close to getting the monstrous line of the night, as was Manu, who had 20 points, 5 threes, 1 rebound, 2 assists and 3 steals. And by really close, I mean in the top 5 sort of consideration. Boogie obviously smashed everyone. Danny Green got hot, 16 points with 4 triples in 18 minutes. He had 2 blocks as well. Very tough to own him though in 12-team leagues. Tim Duncan, 8-9 with 3 blocks. Aldridge, 11-6 with a steal and a block. Overall, the Pelicans, they're not good. They only lost by 8, but the Spurs didn't have to really put the foot down. Tony Parker went 4-2-6 in 27 minutes. And these Spurs guys, like Duncan, like Ginobili, like Parker, they're not must-hold guys at this point, but they can be. They can be owned. Not a complete write-off. The Warriors, they did it. They got the victory over the Jazz on that back-to-back, which was a real danger game. And they played big minutes to do it, and they needed the win. Steph, well, they don't need the win. They need the win to achieve what they wanted to achieve, and that's get that record. Steph Curry, 31-7-4, 2 steals, 5 triples, 42 minutes. Draymond, 13-8-6 with 3 blocks and a 3. Klay Thompson, 18-4 with 3 triples. That's the big guys out of the way. Harry Barnes, Hazza, 42 minutes for Hazza, 15-11 with a 3 and an assist. That's one of his best games. Obviously, I'm not running to grab him. I don't think it's really sustainable, but that's a nice performance. Sean Livingston had a pretty good one as well. 6-6-4 with 2 steals and a block, but these are all deeper 14-16 team league players. Bogut doesn't have a 12-team spot anymore. 4-5 with a block in just 17 minutes. Mo Spates had 4 in 12 minutes. And the value is concentrated, obviously, in 3 guys, and there's a couple other guys who chime in, but they're not going to be real standard league contributors. Utah, Rudy Gobert, 11-18, 38 minutes, 2 blocks. More of the Gobert that we were expecting. 1-4 from the free throw line. More of the Gobert I was expecting. Some big numbers, though, in the rebound and block categories. And Rod Hood, another big game. 20 points, 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, 39 minutes for Rod, while Shelvin Mack went 12-6-9 with 2 steals. So a decent performance. That's 2 in a row, but a 5 of 17 shooting night is not great. And combine that with Gordy Hayward going 7 of 20, and you had some pretty inefficient shooting from the Jazz. He played 46 minutes. It was an overtime game. 21-4, 3 threes, 3 steals. Nice performance. Well, Derek Favors, this is the concern for Jazz fans and this team trying to get into the playoffs. He has a knee issue. 15-7 in 19 minutes. They're classifying as knee soreness at the moment, but it looks to be a little bit more than soreness, and I would imagine that he misses maybe a game or so, and that could unleash Trey Lyles. Now, he played just 25 minutes here, went 6-5 with 2 steals, but he can be better than that. He's going to be a 14-team interesting sort of player. Unless they go with Trevor Booker, but they didn't when Favors was out with that back problem. They started Lyles. Booker got the majority of the minutes to start off, and then Lyles got more comfortable and started putting together some big performances. Joe Ingles played 31 minutes here for whatever reason. 3-2 with 2 steals, while Chris Johnson was out of the rotation. Trey Burke obviously out of the rotation again as well. The Washington Wizards and the Sacramento Kings, that's a bad loss for the Wizards. Otto Porter was good though. 28 minutes, 20 points, 4 threes and 4 assists on 8 of 11 shooting. A nice night there. And Brad Beal, 24-4-4. Yeah, Porter and Beal were two guys that I talked about yesterday in the DFS section, saying they had great matchups to put up numbers, and they came through. Johnny Wall, not a good shooting night, 4 of 16, but 14-7-13, a steal, a block, 2 triples, nice numbers. And Nene had 15-6 in his 21 minutes, while Markeith played 32 minutes, had 13-4, 2 blocks and a 3, and it's really hard to get too down on that, to be honest. Marcin Gortat, 6-12, 3 steals and a block, but 2 of 9 is not what you were hoping for from Gortat. And Garrett Temple went 11-5-3 in his 25 minutes. He's one of the biggest minutes thieves in the NBA. Thieves, that's a better word. The Kings. Rajon Rondo got a technical as well for a synchronized clapping with Boogie. 15 points, 11 assists, 4 steals, and 2 threes. A nice night from Rondo. And also a nice night from Darren Collison, 13-4-10 with a 1-1 in his 31 minutes. They started Seth Curry, but he only played 17 minutes, had 5 points. Willie Cauley-Stein dropped off. I guess it's because George Karl wasn't designing all the plays for him. 6-5 in 23 minutes with a steal and a block. If you did add Cauley-Stein, I still would hold the course here. Rudy Gay, 15-4. Is he done? Is he just finished? Is he not the same guy ever again? I don't know what's going on with him this second half of the season. There's got to be some injury factor. He has been atrocious. They're better off running Henri Caspi out there most of the time. Caspi did play 26 minutes and went 15-8. And Quincy Asik, speaking of minutes thieves, 13 minutes, 7-5 with a 3 and a steal for AC. There's not much to really talk about fantasy-wise. Obviously, Collison's a 12er, and Caspi coming back into consideration, but probably not there. And Cauley-Stein, I would stick the course with. the last game, the Miami Heat, that's a terrible loss on the road to the Lakers in overtime. Luol Deng, 22 and 11 with 3 blocks and 2 threes. Big night. Dwayne Wade, also a huge night. 26, 10 and 5 with 2 blocks. Hassan Whiteside, it doesn't get much huger than that. 18 and 7, 7 blocks. He went 6 of 8 from the field. And if he didn't revert to his, you know, his 2015 free throw shooting where he went 6 of 12, it would have been a much, much bigger performance. But he played 39 minutes and dropped some pretty big numbers. Goran Dragic was back, 11, 3, and 9, so that's good. He's back from his illness. Joey Johnson, I think he's expendable at the moment. 10, 4, and 5 in 36. Well, Joshy Richardson, it didn't happen for Josh. 0 of 8 from the field. 0 of 4 from 3 for 1 point. Yuck. 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. I would still be okay with holding on to Josh. And Justice Winslow went 8 and 4 in his 29 minutes, but just that's a big drop from a guy who's shooting 60% from three to be a 0 of 8 shooter. Just wasn't his night, obviously. The Lakers, Roy Hibbert is alive. 12 and 9, 33 minutes, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Do you pick him up? You absolutely don't. Jordy Clarkson, 26 points with 6 rebounds. A nice night from Clarkson. And Julius Randle hits the game winner. Goes 13 of 14 and shoots poorly. Goes 4 of 11 and doesn't do much else. And that's basically going to be the narrative for his career. Maybe next year or so. D'Angelo Russell. Yeah, you don't need me to go through the issues with D'Angelo Russell and the Lakers and the locker room and Nick Young and all that sort of stuff. But he was okay. 16, 4 and 1. 2 threes, 2 steals. The Lakers have got 1 game left this week, remember. Russell went 6 of 19 here. Lou Williams has been cut right down, which should have happened all season, but it's happening now, so obviously he doesn't need to be owned. Brandon Bass, 8 and 3 in 26 minutes. And Marcelo Huertas had one of the plays of ever. That's a horrible phrase, but just watch it. It's an inbound pass from the Heat, and he goes off the court on the sidelines and hides behind Eric Spoelstra. So as Dragic is bringing the ball down the court, Huertas jumps out from behind the coach, sneaks up on him from behind, steals the ball. Just one of the most ridiculous things I've seen on a court, but it worked, and it is extremely humorous. I should find a link and tweet that out at some point. I'll endeavor to remember to do that. All right, that brings us to the end of the review for Wednesday's games. I'm going to take a quick break. There'll be another word from one of our sponsors. There'll be a song. I'll grab a drink of water, and then we'll transition into Thursday's action and look at it from a DFS point of view. I saw your picture today, got me thinking about the things that I would say, but I know you're happy now and you're someplace far away, 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 and I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street and I wonder if we'll ever meet again. Without a second glance you turned your back, my friend. This is the end, the end, the end, and I can't pretend I'm ready to be your friend. So don't go, don't you know my face? I'm the one that made your heart race so, so long ago. And don't go, please take my hand. I'll take you to the place that we both met so long ago. It was a bad night, I just couldn't get you off my mind. I'm so sick of feeling like you've just left me behind. Sick of looking back. 6 games on Thursday to have a look at, so let's get into them. But before we do, a couple of questions have come through on Twitter. The first one from Just Be Aware, which I'm sure is not your real name. Do you think it's a good idea to pick up a waiver wire guy so that your opponent doesn't have him? I'd take Boyan and drop Augustine for tomorrow. Absolutely, it's fine. Now, if you can afford to lose Augustine and your opponent really needs the threes that Boyan can provide, do it. Add it. Who cares? If it stops your opponent, that means it's helping you. Absolutely no problem with that whatsoever. Zubin back at it again. He says, it's a bold prediction on the Raps. As a Torontonian, I still pray they get past the first round after last year's meltdown. I understand that. I understand all of the skepticism from Toronto fans. And being, for anyone Australian who will have, or anyone who follows Australian football, will understand that of my skepticism with my team, the Western Bulldogs, because we have not won a championship since 1954. And any time that we start to look good, it's always like, oh, we'll probably fall. We probably won't get there. We probably won't do it. So I understand the skepticism, but I'm almost 100% sure they get through that first round. Zubin, let's get into these games now. The first one should be screaming fantasy value, and that is the Bulls and the Rockets. The point guard position, Pat Bev, is at 5,000. It is a great spot. It's a great matchup. He is averaging already 25 across his last three. His last three against the Bulls give him 27 points. I think that he is a fine guy to use. I wouldn't be expecting miracles, but I would be expecting between 26 to 30 points, I think, is probably the right range for him, and that's plenty. Derrick Rose, on the other hand, dealing with that elbow problem, now he's likely to play. He's listed as probable. He's at 6,600, so it's a drop in salary, but you play Pat Beverley, and not much generally goes your way, and you're only averaging 22 points over your last three anyway, staying away. Aaron Brooks, who's been good recently, good for Aaron Brooks, he's not going to be a DFS option. Shooting guards. You got two shooting guards here who are generally pretty good. Jim Harden, 10,900. You know my thoughts on Jim Harden. It haven't changed. Bang, lock him in. Fine. It's a lot of money, but there is value all over this slate here. Lock Jim in. Jim Butler, on the other hand, the other Jim, 7,700. Nah, I think I'm good. It's come down 300, but he is doing nothing. He is averaging under 29 points his last five games, which is good for most people, but not for Jim Butler. And so many negative things coming out about him lately. It's just, I talked about it the other day, just concerning as a Bulls fan, and it's just a worry. Justin Holiday, Etwan Moore, they're not going to be DFS guys whilst Rose and Butler are healthy. Let's look at the small forwards. Trev Ariza is at 5,500. He's been pretty decent lately. It's a great matchup for him. I think that he is in play. I also think that his teammate, Mick Beasley, at 5,000, who's had two strong games in a row, is now averaging 28 across the last three. He is also in play. If I'm picking one of them, it's probably Beasley because I'm spending 500 less and he's been more productive of late. But he's more of a risk. He's more of a tournament guy with probably a lower floor. Though the last two games, he's looked good. The biggest tournament guy here is Nick Mirotic. Now, he is at 5,000. He just dropped a casual 41 in the last game. In his last five, he's had a 41. He's had a 44. He's had a 7. His last three games, including a 41-point performance, he's averaging 20. Hoiberg needs to... Now, lots of shit coming out about Fred Hoiberg at the moment as well, and I agree with some of the stuff. I have not liked the way that Hoiberg's handled a lot of things. Just let Mirotic play. We don't know if Taj Gibson's going to play with those rib issues. That could be an issue. Mirotic has to play. He just has to play. You need offense. He has to play. And now he gets to face the front court of the Rockets. Has to play. Do you have to play him in DFS? Absolutely not. But you should be owning him in standard leagues, and you should be looking at him in a tournament, because when he goes off at 5,000, you're talking 8x value. That he's had twice in the last 2 weeks. Twice in the last week. 8x. It doesn't get better than that. He'll also have 1x. And that's the problem. Corey Brewer, he's not tickling anyone's fancy. Dougie McDermott, doing nothing. He's averaging 8 points over his last 5 games. That's 8 fantasy points. He's not getting an opportunity with everyone sort of back and healthy. And he's doing enough, but not enough for us in a fantasy point of view. Mick Dunleavy, not worth it either. He's getting the 20-plus minutes, but he's not doing anything with them. Taj at 5,000, it would be interesting for him against the Rockets, but with those ribs and the minutes have been reduced lately, not going to play him. Clint Capela is at 4,000, and talked about him a fair bit on yesterday's podcast. He's averaging 23.5 points across the last three games. The Bulls' front court is horrific. We know this. We know they give up a lot of fantasy points. But do you think that Capela has big upside in a tournament? I don't, and I don't think that he's safe enough for a cash game. So it makes him a risky guy. Donatas Motiejunas is not getting the minutes. Bob Portis at 3,700. I'd throw him into a tournament if Taj is missing. But I would hope that they just give Mirotic most of those minutes anyway. Cam Bairstow's out. Montrezl Harrell's out. Josh Smith and Terrence Jones, they could be dead for all I know. I have heard nothing on them recently at all. The centers, Pau Gasol is at 8,500. A great matchup for him. He took a bunch of shots and got a lot of stats in the last game. Didn't hit any shots, but still put up 35 points. I think that he's got a big one in him here. Dwight Howard at 6,800. Not doing it at the moment, just not touching the ball on offense. And but you look at it and you go, you know what, Dwight's playing the Bulls. The Bulls, Dwayne Dedman had a massive night against the Bulls. Dwight's a pretty talented, he's a more talented player than Dwayne Dedman. Could Dwight have a big game? I put zero trust in it, but I do look at him as a tournament play and go, yeah, he's got 40-point upside here, absolutely, in this sort of matchup. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Brooklyn Nets is the next game. It is in Cleveland. The Cavs are favored by 14. The total is 211.5. LeBron will be back after resting in the last game. But does that mean we want to use him? We'll get to that in a sec. Let's start with the point guard. Shane Larkin's at 3,900. It's a good matchup when you go against Kyrie. Larkin's been producing, averaging 24 across his last three games. The salary's risen, but it's only been by $200. So he's still less than 4,000. I think that Larkin is should easily be 20 points. And I think at 3,900, you need to use that. Kyrie is at 7,200. Had a massive game in the last one. He's averaging 36 across his last three. But with 7,200 with LeBron back and the potential for this game to be a blowout, it makes me very wary about using Kyrie. Don Sloan, no. Dellavedova, 30 minimum salary Dellavedova, but not when Kyrie's playing. Shooting guards. J.R. Smith just can't get anything happening, really. He's at 4,200. This is a great matchup for him, so he is definitely someone that you'd look at in a tournament as a high-risk, high-reward play. Iman Shumpert will go back to a bench role, and he won't be worth looking at. Sean Kilpatrick, he's going to play 20 minutes. He's going to score 14 points, and it's not enough at 3,800. Markel Brown, Wayne Ellington, no interest in those guys. Small forwards, LeBron, 10,100. The last three times he's played the Nets, he's averaged just 38 points. That's not great. It's a super matchup. But what if it's too super? And then we know that the Cavs are in preservation mode already. What if LeBron just plays 32 minutes? That's a risk. So you might look at him in a tournament, but I would have very little confidence in it. Bojan Bogdanović at 4,500, not a good matchup. His form has been atrocious. Since Hollis Jefferson has returned, he hasn't been good. So I think we'll leave him out of it. Hollis Jefferson, at the other hand, at 4,000. Nah, he rested the last game. He should be back, but he's not a DFS target to me. Neither Sergei Karasev, not getting enough minutes at the moment. Daniel Charles asks a question. How come they always rest LeBron but not Kyrie? Okay, a couple of things. They do rest Kyrie. He rested the other day. He missed the first half of the season anyway, so he hasn't had the same wear and tear on his body that LeBron has. And the third thing, he's younger than LeBron. And that's it. He's younger than LeBron. He's missed half the season already, and he has had a rest. There you go. Power forwards. Kevin Love. Good matchup. Decent matchup, but 6,800, he's just not doing enough at that price. Now, he is averaging 35 across the last three games against this team, and that's encouraging, but his recent form is not encouraging enough. He's not someone I'm interested in. Tristan Thompson at 46, with everyone back, he's not going to be worth looking at, I don't think. And Thad Young should be back after resting the last game. He's at 7,500. The Cavs do not allow power forwards in general to put up big numbers, so too much of a risk factor for me to use Thad Young. I imagine Thomas Robinson, after dropping 36 in the last game, goes back to what he was doing before that, and that is sitting his ass on the bench and watching, so he won't have much of an impact, nor will Chris McCullough. The centers, Brookie Lopez, will he play 15 minutes again? Probably not, but it's not a good spot to use him against a Cavs team who is great against centers. 7,600 is Brook. Yeah, he's not going to be used. Tim Mozgov, no. Henry Sims, no. Sasha Kohn, no. Noticed on Roto World today, talking on Brook Lopez, or maybe yesterday, talking about Brook Lopez, saying he's a shutdown candidate. I do not understand why that he's not injured. And I've yet to see a situation of players just not playing or being done for the season because then if they're not injured at all. I haven't seen it. I don't think, I've called for people to tell me, has this ever happened and I've just missed it? I can't remember it ever happening. And I think if Lopez got shut down without being injured, it would be the first time. But I'd like someone to tell me when that's ever happened. I just can't recall it ever happening. I do not think that, and you know my takes on shutdown candidates. People get shut down because they're hurt, because something happens. Yeah, Drew Holiday got shut down because he got his face caved in. Anthony Davis got shut down. He had to have knee surgery, which he'd been putting off for 5 months. Yeah, Mallow got shut down last year because he couldn't walk and selfishly played through to the All-Star break. I don't believe in shutdowns as cool, just pack it in, you're not playing anymore. To me, that just doesn't happen. The next game, the Orlando Magic, fresh off a big victory against the Brooklyn Nets, against the Indiana Pacers. There's no spread release for this one. I guess they're waiting to see the status of Nick Vucevic. I would be thinking that Vucevic plays in this one. I don't have anything to lead me towards that, but he was questionable for the last game, didn't make it. I reckon he'll be back for this one. The point guard situation, Georgie Hill at 5,000. He's really played well in the last couple against the Magic. Now, some of those were without Paul George, but a 32.5 average is pretty decent. His numbers of late haven't been good, so I'm not sure that I'd want to use him. Lord Alfred Payton's numbers have been good. His price has crept up to 5,900. So that makes me a little bit careful with using him. 34 average across the last three, and the Pacers are good defensively, probably a stay away. Ty Lawson, Brandon Jennings, CJ Watson, Shabazz Napier, they're probably not going to be in a situation unless a mid-game injury occurs, and we can't predict that. Monte at 6,700, not giving enough at that salary. Vic Oladipo at 8,200, it's just way too high. He came back, he played 26 minutes in his first game, had 26 points. A point a minute's great. Does he go back to 37 minutes and put up 37 points? Maybe, but I'm still not, especially against the Pacers team, who's great against shooting guards. Not using Vic here, although you know, back in the state where he went to college, maybe something. I don't think so. Small forwards, Paulie George. 8,900 for Paul. He had 45 in his last game. He's averaging 41 in his last three. Hasn't been that great against the Magic. He's dealing with a sore ankle. This is probably a stay away for me. Evan Fournier, a terrible matchup against the Pacers wings. 5,400, not happening for me either. And Mario Hezonja, he needs an injury to get playing time, and that's not happening at the moment. Miles Turner, 5,500, has been bad lately, averaging just 14 points across his last three. The salary's dropped by 200, but is it enough for me to be interested in? Yeah, it's not a bad matchup here against the Magic, but he's still really just a tournament play. Aaron Gordon at 5,700, he is of very little interest to me because he's just not going to get big minutes and he's just not exploding really at all. Lavoy Allen, Ersan Ilyasova. Jay Smith, I'd look at if Vucevic is out. He's at 41. He's averaging 21 across the last three, so he's a decent cash option. And Andrew Nicholson, who was red hot in the last game, he's at 4,200, dropped 30 in the last game. A 26 average across his last three. He's going at well over a fantasy point per minute in his last five games. If Ersan Ilyasova's out, if Nick Vucevic is out, I would consider Nicholson. And I would probably look to use him, actually, in a tournament in that situation where both those guys are out. At center, Jan Mihinmi, 5,200. I don't care if Deadman's there, Smith's there, Vucevic is there. The defense is not going to bother Mihinmi too much. He's been on a pretty good roll offensively, averaging 34 points across his last three. He dropped 31 in the last game. At 5,200, you feel that 25 points should be a pretty basic task for him. Nick Vucevic, won't use him if he returns. Jordy Hill's minutes down in the single digits lately. I'm not really sure what's going on there. We wouldn't be using him, though. And Dwayne Dedman at 4,000. If Vucevic is out, he's an okay guy to look at, but I would rather take Jason Smith, to be honest. Denver at New Orleans. The Nuggets are favored by 6.5. The total here is 210 points. Yusuf Nurkic is questionable with that illness. Let's start by looking at the point guards. I would imagine on Norris Cole. I don't think that Norris Cole plays. Ryan Anderson's already out as well. Tim Frazier at 4,000. He had 26 today. To him to get 20 points feels like it's an absolute lock. So I think that he's a great cheap cash point guard and a pretty decent tournament one. DJ Augustine at 4,900. I'd much rather spend 900 less than take Frazier, to be honest. Emmanuel Mudiay at 5,600. His game today looked good, but it only gave you 24 DFS points. 5,600 is just a bit too expensive, but this is a nice matchup. So if there's an opportunity for him to go big, this is going to be it. Tone Douglas is at 57. That's just way too high. No chance of using Tone Douglas at that salary. The shooting guards. Bill Barton is at 54. He's averaging 33 points across his last three. In his last three games against the Pelicans, he's averaging 44 DFS points. I really like using him here. It could bite me on the ass significantly, but I do like him here. Gaz Harris at 5,000. Minutes are down, production's down. He's not going to be used. The small forwards where it gets a little bit interesting. Jordy Hamilton is at 3,600. He started today, had 26 points in 31 minutes. Former team, 3,600, use him. And this will enable you to get guys like Jim Butler, Jim Harden into your lineup. Lukey Babbitt into a bench role, hate him in a bench role, won't be using him. Jakar Sampson, no. Mike Miller, no. Obviously, Axel Toupin, no. James Ennis is not available on FanDuel at the moment. No salary there, but he had a nice 24-point game. So if he becomes available, he'll be minimum salary most likely, and he'd be in play. Power forwards, Dante Cunningham at 3,700. At 3,700, if he gets 23 points, it is 6x value. It's a great matchup for him. He's going to play a shitload of minutes. He will have a hot game at some point, and he'll hit like 4 threes and go for 16 and 10 or something stupid like that. And you want to get on it at that salary. I think he's a tournament play here. Darrell Arthur at 36, he's very unpredictable. Ken Faried's not in play either. The centers. Nurkic, probably not at 4,500 with Faried back, although he'd been playing well, but that was without Faried. Alexei Ajinsa at 3,900. I am all over using Ajinsa at 3,900. He had 28 points today. For him to get 20 points should feel like an absolute fait accompli. Omer Asik, no. And Nikola Jokic at 5,900, not quite. Is not happening at that sort of that sort of salary. The next game is very, very interesting, and I don't know. It's a concern for DFS. It's the Clippers and the Thunder. The Thunder is favored by 8.5. The total is 214. And by a concern, I mean the Thunder players. Russ Westbrook, 10,600. He doesn't have to face Chris Paul. He doesn't have to face DeAndre Jordan. Where's the defense? He could blow up. Or he could play 28 minutes in a smashing and not do anything. So at 10,600, spending up on Russ, look, it might work because you might put Tim Frazier in. You might put Austin Rivers in. You might put Cole Aldrich in and just have all this money sitting around. So you can fit Westbrook, Harden, and Durant in. You might do that. And then even if Westbrook doesn't get 55 points, if he gets 45, it works out because your cheap guys are still getting you 8x value. And overall, you still score 300 plus. So it might work out. It depends how you structure your roster. But there's a risk in using these big Thunder guys. Pablo Prigioni might get some extra run as well. He's a minimum salary guy. Don't discount Pablo. He can get a stack of steals and he can hit some threes, but he's not a great option. And campaign, obviously, is not really in play. Shooting guards, no JJ Redick, so Jamal Crawford at 4,700. He should see 30 minutes. You would expect him to go for 25 to 26 fantasy points at a minimum. I think that he's a great option. Deion Waiters is always a flighty. Don't like using him. He can have the big game occasionally, and he might get extra minutes here. So in a tournament at 3,700, you might get 30 points out of Waiters because they might play him 35 minutes as they sit some of their other guys. That could happen, but the likelihood of it is not high. Robertson, Foy, CJ Wilcox, Anthony Morrow. I don't think we need to look at any of those guys. Obviously, JJ Redick is out. Small forwards, no Paul Pierce. So Jeff Green at 4,500, he might get some extra run. I think he's in consideration in this game too. He should be a 25-point guy. Wes Johnson at 3,600, he should get extra minutes. He should be in consideration at 3,600. Both those guys remain great tournament options. Kev Durant, 10,600. Exactly the same story as Westbrook. No one's going to stop him. But maybe they're 20 up at the end of the third quarter and he plays 30 minutes. He still could go for a triple-double or something along those lines. But there's risk involved. Luke Marmute, even if he plays 30 minutes, I'm not going to get excited about using him. Although, oddly, his last three games against the Thunder, he's averaging 23 FanDuel points. At minimum salary, that's great. So maybe. Do you think Luke Marmute can get hot in extra minutes? Get a lot of steals? Get some blocks? Don't discount Marmute. Power forwards. Serge Ibaka. He is at 55. Well, the other thing we've got to consider is, what if the Thunder rest guys? What if Ibaka doesn't play? I would imagine that... What if Westbrook doesn't play? Because Ibaka and Durant rested the other day. That's a possibility too. And then all aboard campaign. Absolutely all aboard. If Billy Donovan runs with him. Which we'd hope we would. And if he started Randy Foy, then he should be fired on the spot. Serge Ibaka at 5,500. I think you've got to look at Ibaka. He's averaging 29 across the last three games, 26 across the last five. I think that you've got to look at using him here. The other power forwards on the slate here, Jeff Ayers, Nick Collison, Brandon Dawson, and Mitch McGarry. I'm sure you're not interested there. But we get to the centers. This is where your interest should really get very, very erect. Cole Aldrich is at 3,500. He he is already averaging 13 points in the last five games in 13 minutes. He is over a point per minute fantasy guy. He has an opportunity for 30 plus minutes here. He has an opportunity to put up 30 points fairly comfortably. We have him projected, and this is just a projection, we have him projected at over a 9x value. I'm very aroused at thinking about what Cole Aldrich can do. You know, I've talked about him ad nauseum over the last 2, 3, 4 weeks maybe, and how much I like him. This is his opportunity. I've said, if DeAndre Jordan gets hurt, if DeAndre Jordan rests, look at Aldrich. I've added him in standard leagues for tomorrow. This is in. Don't go all in. Don't go 100% exposure to Aldrich because you've got other guys out there. Ejins is another cheap option. But don't disregard him. Steve Adams at 4,500. Not a bad spot for him in this matchup. Honestly, he could work out well. And Enes Kanter at 56 is also another consideration. I like Kanter for a cash game play here. Just as a nice, solid 30-point guy, I think that he can get. But it's, there's a lot of risk in that game. A lot. And there's a lot of risk at this point of year in NBA DFS anyway, and you probably shouldn't be putting as much of your bankroll in at this point of the season just because there's so many random bullshit things that happen. Injuries, rest, limit minutes. There's just a lot of randomness that happens and it can really affect things. The last game, the Boston Celtics and the Portland Trailblazers. Dame Lillard, Isaiah Thomas, they're both in a pretty good spot here. Yeah, Thomas has been outperforming Lillard. He's averaging 37 across his last five, 32 across his last three. He's priced $500 less. It's a good matchup for him, whereas Blazers going up against the Celtics, you've got much better defenders on the Celtics. So if I'm taking one of these two guys, I'm taking Thomas. Now, Lillard's not a horrible play, but he's definitely not a cash game play at 8,300, and he might be a tournament play if you're loading up on some of those other cheaper guys around. Marcus Smart at 4,300. Jay Crowder could return, so that's going to limit Smart's ability, and it's also going to drop Terry Rozier from the rotation. Gerald Henderson at 3,600. He's been solid, but he's not giving you enough points. CJ at 6,900, just not a good matchup. And 6,900 means you need 35 points from him, and he's just not producing at that sort of level. Avery Bradley is a tournament punt, and that's literally it. You can't rely upon him for cash. And I don't know if you can rely upon him for cash either. Alan Crabb dropped 30 in the last game. That brought his five-game average to 18. That's not good. 3,700 is his salary. I wouldn't be banking on another 30-point performance from the Crabster. Small forward. Mo Harkless, 4,000. Looks like he's going to start for at least the foreseeable future. Not a big night from him last time, just 20 points, but he's a 24 average across the last three, and at 4,000, I think that he's definitely a fine guy to use. Crowder, I'm not using him in his return. Brad Stevens thinks there won't be a minutes limit, but I don't know who he's kidding. He won't play 35 minutes at Jay Crowder. There is no chance. Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,000 has been putting up some consistent numbers. Well, actually not consistent. Been putting up numbers, maybe the best way of putting it. 29 in the last game, 26 across his last five. Not all that keen on using him. And Evan Turner, if Crowder plays, he comes out of the pool of players that I'd consider using. Power forwards, Eddie Davis, 4,600. Not only is he playing the Celtics, but he's been bloody good in his own right. He's averaging 28 across the last three, 28 across the last five. His lowest score in his last five games has been 22.5 points, and that's bloody brilliant. He just needs bigger minutes to really explode, but he is just consistent at the moment. The Celtics, Jared Sullinger, Jonas Jerebko, Amir Johnson. I can't trust any of these guys. Now, Sullinger has been great against Portland in his last three games, 34 points, but he's been under 25 minutes the last two games. Zero trust. Tournament, yes. Cash, no. At center, you know what I think of Kelly Olynyk, but I absolutely no trust in him getting minutes. So even though he's at 3,900, I'd consider him in a tournament in a matchup against Portland. He's worth looking at. 5,100 for Mason Plumlee. Hasn't been good lately, but Celtics front court's a nice opportunity. He's averaging 28 in his last three games against Boston, some of those with the Brooklyn Nets. 28 points at 5,100 is mildly intriguing. He's over a fantasy point per minute over his last five games. Anyway, he just requires the minutes, so it's a bit of a guessing game. Will he get 28 minutes? Will he get 21 minutes? And that's part of what you got to guess. Let's look at the DFS picks of the day for Thursday. And there's so many other options I could have had in here. Yeah, with point guards, I could have had Tim Frazier in there. Austin Rivers is at 3,600. He'll play the one, he'll play the two, he'll let us all down. Patrick Beverley at 5,000, Isaiah Thomas at 7,800. Shooting guards, Jamal Crawford, 47, B. Bill Barton, 54. Jim Harden, 10,900. Small forwards, Geordie Hamilton, 36. Mick Beasley, 5,000. And Kev Durant, 10,600. The power forwards, Eddie Davis, 46. Serge Ibaka, 55. And I don't think there's any high-priced power forwards that I'm interested in. And the centers, Cole Aldrich, 35. Jan Mahinmi, 52. And Pau Gasol, 8,500. I'm going to put the Loot Crate website up there on the screen for you one more time. Lootcrate.com/redrock. Go ahead, use that URL. Use the coupon code REDROCK. Save yourself $3. And hey, if you're a nerd like me, enjoy it, because there is a lot of great stuff there and some really great collectible items. And I think you'll enjoy it. So go and check out Loot Crate and see what they can do for you, and support the podcast if you happen to enjoy it. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at @redrock_bball, and Basketball Monster is Bask Monster. Of course, you know what Basketball Monster can bring. And if you don't, go and check it out. We're going to be running DFS all the way through the first two rounds of the playoffs. So you can sign up for playoff packages as well over on Basketball Monster. So check that out. Of course, Hardwood Paroxysm, great articles, great podcast. The Hardwood Paroxysm combined, Hardwood Paroxysm Network podcast feed, combined feed, is back in action. You'll get all of the podcasts on that feed. So make sure you're subscribing to that along with this. Hey, download this podcast twice. Awesome. Helps the numbers, helps me attract more sponsors, and helps the show keep going, helps keep these big lights that are bright, shining in my face on in our Red Rock HQ. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much. Oops. Try again. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.